Another part of that is on May 1st at the Grange at 2 o'clock, people need to come out and vote. If they don't vote, it doesn't happen.
And the doors close at 3. Not the doors close, but you must be in line by 3. If you're not in line by 3, that's it. You don't get to come in.
2 to 3, you need to show up. For the caucus on May 1st, if you are a supporter of Bernie Sanders, go to the Chico Grange on Old Nord Highway. If you would like to participate in Hillary Clinton caucus, go to the Arc Pavilion on Park Avenue between 2 and 3 o'clock.
895-0131. This is your last chance to call in on Sue's show. We've had an amazing flurry, and I know delegates are important to you because I've been watching Facebook, and there's 5 or 6 postings every day about the superdelegates. And finally, here's somebody talking about it, and here's something, somebody local doing something about it. Thank you, Sue.
And running to be delegates. Bob Chausch and Diana Fogel,
and
thank you so much.
And you can come earlier than 2 o'clock. You can come and you can help sign people up. There's lots of activities you can be part of.
895-0131.
And this brings us to the end of this edition of The Real Issue, which is made possible by all of you generous contributors to KZFR Radio and by BCAC.TV, Butte County's public access television station, broadcasting on Comcast Channel 11. BCAC.TV provides locally produced arts, culture, information, and entertainment from the heart of downtown Chico. They're located at 500 Main Street. New to BCAC are daily broadcasts of Democracy Now, weekdays at 5 and 11 p.m. Things are changing at Comcast Channel 11. For more information or to get involved, visit bcac.tv. One last opportunity to call in and show your support to the real issue at 895-0131. This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond.
Yeah. Look at me. Look at me. Up and about. I haven't done this in 20 years.
Oh. Grandpa!
I never thought my life could be anything but catastrophe. But suddenly I begin to see a bit of good luck for me. 'Cause I've got a golden ticket. I've got a golden twinkle in my eye. I never had a chance to shine, never a happy song to sing, but suddenly half the world is mine. What an amazing thing. 'Cause I've got a golden ticket.
It's ours, Charlie.
I've got a golden sun up in the sky.
Slippers, Charlie.
I never thought I'd see the day when I would face the world and say good morning. Look at the sun. I never thought that I would be slapping the lap of luxury, 'cause I'd have said
it couldn't be done.
But it can be done.
Ooh, the cane, Charlie. Here I go. Watch my speed.
I never dreamed that I would climb over the moon in ecstasy, but nevertheless it's there that I'm shortly about to be.
'Cause I've got a golden ticket. I've got a golden chance to make my way. And with a golden ticket, it's a golden day.
Sun. 'Cause I'd have said it couldn't be done, but it can be done. I never dreamed that I would climb over the moon in ecstasy, but nevertheless it's there that I'm shortly about to be. 'Cause I've got a golden ticket. I've got a golden ticket. I've got a golden chance to make take my way. And with a golden ticket, it's a golden.
And good evening, everyone out there. It's me on KZFR 90.1 FM in Chico, broadcasting to the entire universe on www. I'm your host for Wonka Radio this evening, Liesl, and I have a really join our membership, join our team for a generous donation at 895-0131. But I also have selected some happy, a lot. I have some books here about, let me say, the favorite pastime. I'm not talking about watching television. I'm talking about their whoop whoop. So I was visiting Chico Unified for the elementary schools, and I told her about my show this evening, and she said, oh my goodness, have you read Brothers at Bat yet? And I said, goodness, I have not. And she said, oh, I think it would be a really great book to share with your listeners. And boy, howdy, was Ms. Kelly right. It is an amazing book, and I'm going to start out the show with this evening. The true story of an amazing all-brother baseball team, Brothers at Bat, written by Audrey Vernick and illustrated by Stephen Salerno. Check this out. When winter's chill melts into spring, back doors swing open and slap shut as kids just home from school run outside, mitts, bats, and balls in hand. In one New Jersey town near the ocean back in the 1920s and 30s, you could hear the same door slam shut over and over again. Three brothers raced out. Out went three more. And more. And still more. It sounds like a fairy tale. 12 baseball-playing brothers. But Anthony, Joe, Paul, Alfred, Jimmy, Charlie, Jimmy, Bobby, Billy, Freddie, Eddie, Bubby, and Louie, a Sarah, were real. They had four sisters, too. Catherine, Florence, Rosina, and Frances. And a white dog named Pitch. The sisters didn't play ball. Back then, most people thought sports were just for boys. The Aceras had so many kids that they slept two to a bed and sat three across in their outdoor bathroom. They ate dinner wherever they could find a seat. Even on a baseball field, there were more boys than positions. But that didn't stop them from playing. Baseball set the rhythm of their lives. Every spring, you would take your glove out, go in the yard, and play, Freddie said. Neighbors couldn't recall a time when there weren't Acera boys outside tossing the ball, hitting it hard, racing around with the young ones watching, wishing they were old enough to play. Their high school baseball team had an Acera on it for 22 years in a row. In 1938, the brothers ranged from ages 7 to 32. The oldest nine formed their own semi-pro team and competed against other New Jersey teams. Their father coached them and never missed a game. Their uniforms all said the same thing, Aceras. The infields they played on were dirt. Outfields were littered with rocks and sand. The brothers loved to talk about the day they played at the Old Dog Track, an oceanfront stadium that had once been an auto raceway. It was there that Anthony, the oldest, hit a couple of home runs right into the Atlantic Ocean. They called Anthony Poser because of the way he'd stand at the plate, as if his baseball card photo were being taken. Charlie, the fifth oldest, was the slowest brother. He was a good player, but a terrible runner. The brothers often joked about the time he hit a ball nearly out of the park, but only made it to second. Jimmy, the sixth brother, had a knuckleball people still talk about. You couldn't hit it, and you couldn't catch it either, Eddie said. That ball danced in the air. Jimmy was a great hitter, too, probably the best player on the team. But there was no jealousy, no rivalry, no fighting. As the younger brothers grew up, the older ones shared playing time. If someone dropped a fly ball or struck out, no one screamed or threw down his glove or stomped off the field. We stuck together, Freddie said. The team played around New Jersey, in New York, Connecticut, wherever they could find a good game. Paul sent out letters looking for new teams to play. The all-brother team always drew big crowds. In 1939, at the New York World's Fair, the Aceras were honored as the biggest family in New Jersey. They were taken to the Newark Airport, where they boarded a plane and were flown over the fairgrounds. They couldn't believe it. No one they knew had been on a plane before. Most of the people at the World's Fair looking up at that small plane in the sky had no idea there was a whole team of brothers aboard. But it wasn't all fun and games and sunny skies. Their darkest day occurred on the field, too. Freddie was on third base in a scoreless game. Alfred was at the plate. He touched his right shoulder, the signal that he was going to bunt. Then things went wrong. The pitch came in high, and somehow the ball bounced off the bat and hit Alfred hard right in the face. They rushed him to the doctor, but he lost an eye. For the next few months, Eddie took Alfred's place as catcher. Everyone thought Alfred's baseball days were over. But when you have 11 brothers willing to throw you balls in the yard gently at first, then a bit harder, you get your skills back. You get your courage back, too. Alfred was soon wearing the Aceras uniform again. He was pretty good catcher for a guy with one eye, Freddie said. In the 1940s, something pulled the brothers' attention away from baseball. American soldiers were fighting in the Second World War across the Atlantic Ocean, the same huge ocean Poser had hit balls into. Battles were raging, but the brothers knew it was important to fight for their country. Six of the Acera brothers joined the service. Poser was the first to go. He, Charlie, Eddie, and Bobby all served in the Army. And after Billy joined the Marines, Freddie did too. The six brothers traveled far from home. After a lifetime of talking and playing together, they now went months, years without seeing one another. They longed for the salty stew smell of the Atlantic Ocean. They dreamed of their childhood home, of the door slap, slap, slapping as they ran outside to play, and of long afternoons throwing a ball in high, soaring arcs from glove to glove to glove in a field full of brothers. Back in New Jersey, their parents and siblings waited for news. It took a long time for letters to reach from overseas, and there was a lot of time to worry. When the war finally ended, everyone was so happy. The Aceras were very lucky. One by one, all six brothers returned from their time in the service. Mama Acera cried each time a boy walked in the door. By the time summer of 1946 came around, the family was ready to get back to baseball. They were all older, of course, and Poser now coached the team. They joined the Long Branch City Twilight Baseball League, and over the next 6 years, won the league championship four times. Every Sunday, crowds filled the stands to watch the all-team brother team play. As time passed, the Aceras got married and moved into their own homes. They worked at their jobs and had children of their own. By 1952, they played their last game as a team, but they had already made history as the longest-playing all-brother baseball team ever. In 1997, the Baseball Hall of Fame held a special ceremony to honor them. Only seven of them were still alive. Paul, Alfred, Bobby, Billy, Freddie, Eddie, and Bubby all made the trip, along with more than 100 relatives, including their sister Frances. Jimmy's son donated his father's uniform and glove, which were put on display right there in the same museum that honored Babe Ruth and Ty Cobb and Willie Mays. They treated us like we were kings, Freddie said. After such a thrilling day, you could picture them driving off into the sunset happily ever after. But their bus broke down. They could have all just sat on the curb, grumbling in the summer heat. But someone found a bat and ball, and as three generations of Aceras waited for a new bus, they played ball. That ball soared from grandfather to granddaughter, from father to son, and from brother to brother. Call 895-0131.
When I was playing Little League, I wasn't very tall. A scrappy second baseman, my strike zone was real small. So when I got up to the plate, I crouched inside the box. The pitchers couldn't throw a strike, I led the team in walks. Oh, this is baseball, the smell of grass and leather, and all that sunny weather, the smile upon my face. Oh, this is baseball, I fell in love when I was seven. This game that came from heaven and brightened up this place. My second time up to bat, I spat into the dirt. That's what all the pros did, I thought it couldn't hurt. I never even took a swing, I stood and watched the ball. But then I had to take a seat, cause strike three was the call. Oh, this is baseball, the smell of grass and leather, and all that sunny weather, the smile upon my face. Oh, this is baseball, I fell in love when I was seven. This game that came from heaven and brightened up this place. My last game of the season, I waited for the sign. My manager walked up to me, he scared me half the time. He said, son, you always take a pitch, I want you to swing away. I want you to hit that baseball and put it into play. I stepped up to the plate and the pitcher stared me down. I stood deep inside the box, I dug into the ground. The pitch came pounding in, and I was feeling tense. But I swung with all my might, and I hit that baseball to the fence. So this is baseball, as I'm rounding the bases. The smile upon my face is big for all to see. Oh, this is baseball, and my team is in the dugout. And they're cheering their guts out, and it's all for me. Oh, this is baseball, the smell of grass and leather. And all that sunny weather is saving us from strife. Oh, this is baseball, I fell in love when I was seven. This game that came from heaven and forever changed my life.
All right, well, if you're just joining us here on KZFR for Wonka Radio, you probably have figured out what my theme is for this evening. That's right, it is a baseball. And that was a song called This Is a Baseball. And I started the show with a wonderful true story called Brothers at Bat about 12 Acero brothers who formed their own baseball team and finally were inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame, which is pretty cool. So if you are interested in Brothers at Bat, go on down to your library and check it out. We're going to continue with our baseball theme because, as I said, I know we got a lot of Giants fans out there. And if you're a Giants fan, you're a KZFR fan, and you're a Wonka Radio fan, I want you to pick up that little phony phone and give us a call at 891-0131. 895-0131. You'd think after 16 years I would know the number, but I just goofed. 895-0131. Give us a call here. Let us know that children's programming is important to you, that you love Wonka Radio, and that you love baseball. We're going to continue our theme here with Randy Riley's really big hit, written and illustrated by Chris Van Dusen. I found this at the Butte County Library Chico branch. Oh man, it's cute. You got to go check it out for yourself. Randy Riley stood at bat. He gazed out at the mound. His knees began to tremble and his heart began to pound. Then Randy started thinking about the pitcher's throw. He wondered, without gravity, how far the ball would go. And as he stood there pondering, strike three went whizzing by. "You're out," he heard the umpire called, then walked off with a sigh. See, Randy was a genius. He just couldn't hit the ball. He struck out every time at bat. He wasn't good at all. But something beyond baseball brought a smile to Randy's face. What Randy Riley really loved was stuff from outer space. He studied all the planets. He memorized their tilt. He researched how the thrusters on the rocket ships were built. He knew the constellation and the light years to the stars. And wouldn't it be great, he thought, to ride a bike on Mars? When Randy Riley got back home, he went up to his room. He knew he stunk at baseball, and it filled his heart with gloom. So he took his favorite robots from the shelf above his bed and staged a game of baseball with his robot team instead. That night before he went to sleep, Randy scanned the sky and through his Space Boy telescope. A glimmer caught his eye. He fiddled with the focus till he saw it crystal clear. It was a massive fireball, and it was coming near. Alarmed, he started plotting the projection of its path. He formulated diagrams. He double-checked his math. He calculated quickly and concluded with a frown. In 19 days, the fireball would crash into his town. Randy Riley flew downstairs to warn his mom and dad. The impact would be major. And the damage would be bad. He explained the situation until his face was red, but they told him he was tired, and they sent him off to bed. Poor Randy couldn't sleep at all. He thought the whole night through. By morning, it was obvious just what he had to do. He gathered what he needed with determined resolution and lugged it off behind the shed to work on his solution. Randy toiled for 18 days while other kids had fun, but he was on a mission, so he worked till he was done. At breakfast on the 19th day, the news announcer said, "This is a special bulletin. Emergency. Code red. A fireball's approaching. It just flew past the moon. It's coming fast, so be prepared for it to hit by noon." Everybody burst outside as fear and panic grew, but Randy ran back to the shed. He had a job to do. He grabbed the tarp and gave a tug. It slid off to reveal the mighty mammoth robot man he'd welded out of steel. The robot needed power, and Randy knew precisely that 97 batteries would energize it nicely. The eyes lit up. The engine world, step one, was now complete. So far, so good, thought Randy. Then they thundered down the street. Step two of Randy's mission took place just south of the town, in a section known as Millville, where he slowed the robot down. The robot ripped the smokestack off an old abandoned mill. Then Randy turned the throttle knob to march him up the hill. Back in town, the people were as frightened as could be, but Randy knew the time had come for critical step three. The robot burst out through the trees, stepped up, and took a stance, while everyone fell silent as if frozen in a trance. Randy's eye was on the ball, no room for error now. 3, 2, 1... and flipped the switch, a swoosh, and then kapow! A blinding flash, a booming crash. He knew what he had done. Randy Riley had a hit, his very first home run. The fireball sailed out of sight. A rousing cheer began. Hooray for Randy Riley and his giant metal man! And as the crowd went crazy, Randy stood there with a grin and mumbled, "How predictable. A fastball, low and in." When things returned to normal after Randy saved the day, he went back to the baseball field to join his friends at play. And though he swings in earnest, he rarely hits the ball. But that's okay, because Randy's had the biggest hit of all. That was Randy Riley's really big hit. And that, my friends, concludes this very fun episode of Wonka Radio featuring nothing but baseball. Baseball, baseball, baseball. So whether you're a Giants fan or a Dodgers fan or Brenton, what are some other baseball teams?
Cubs.
Yankees. Nationals. Okay, those are some. You could be fans of those baseball teams. Or maybe you're on a softball or baseball team and you enjoy playing and rooting for your own team. I hope that you've enjoyed those stories this evening and our song, This is Baseball. Remember to call in here and support Community Radio at 895-0131. We are having our membership drive. We need your support to keep ourselves on the air and to keep amazing program coming at you like Radio Radix, which is coming up next. Brenton's in the house. Don't touch that dial. You have been listening to Wonka Radio, which is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters. I hope that includes you. And by Madsen Property, specializing in the professional management of rental property in Chico, Oroville, Paradise, and Magalia. Alicia Madsen is a licensed broker specializing in single and multi-unit property. From move-in to move-out, Alicia can make your investment property endeavor a positive and profitable experience. For more information and to view available rental properties, visit Madsen, M-A-D-S-E-N, propertymanagement.com or call 570-6192. You know that Wonka Radio is also made possible by the generous contributions of Harrison Daly Wright Accountancy Corporation in Chico. Harrison Daly Wright provides certified public accountants specializing in accounting and bookkeeping services, auditing, tax preparation, planning, management support, services for nonprofit organizations, and more. To reach Harrison Daly Wright, call 895-1209. To reach us here at KZFR, call 895-0131. Put your money where your ear is and show your love of your local and singular only community radio station right here broadcasting from beautiful downtown Chico. Don't touch that dial. We're going to hear a little Wonka, and then you're going to hear a lot of amazing music from Brenton on Radio Radix. Let me leave you with this thought. Where is fancy bread? In the heart or in the head? Good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, the chocolate room. Hold your breath. Make a wish. Count to three.
Come with me and you'll be in a world of pure imagination. Take a look and you'll see into your imagination. We'll begin with a spin. Traveling in the world of my creation, what we'll see will defy explanation.